Hello and welcome to RC Talk, the voice of Ratio Christi at Marshall University. My name's John Mays, I'm your host. I'm also the regional director for the states of West Virginia and Pennsylvania, along with being the chapter director at Marshall University. Today, before I actually get to the topic, real quick I want to talk to you about an event yesterday. The apologetic community lost a legend. In the world of apologetics. I mean, Dr. Norman Geisler passed yesterday morning, and though we mourn the loss, we can celebrate his victory. He touched millions of lives, influenced everyone, and I mean every apologist. If you call yourself an apologist, you've been touched by Dr. Geisler. However, one of the saddest parts to me from his death is the majority of the Christian world that had never heard of Dr. Geisler. And I say that to identify what I think is a major problem within the church as a whole. I mean, for a man to touch so many millions of lives and write so many books, I think he'd written over 80 books, and it's not just about his intelligence by any stretch. I've met him a few times. In fact, the one time it sticks out, my wife and I met him at a conference in Charlotte, and he treated us just like he'd known us forever. He introduced both of us to his wife, and we probably had a 20-minute conversation with the intentions of strictly getting a picture with what I consider a legend. He opened the frontier to apologetics. But the point being, though we're sad and we mourn, we can celebrate. As I said, the point that I want to emphasize is that the majority of the church has never heard of him. And that's part of the problem. And if you yourself don't know who he was, then that's part of the reason the church is so irrelevant in today's society. That's part of the reason that 50 to 75% of our students, individuals 18 to 30 year olds, are leaving Christianity. I don't know. I guess today is just a way of expressing another example of what I try to scream and teach and share daily, for lack of better terms. So here's my example for today of, you know, the church being in the shape it is because we don't know. I mean, we base a lot of our beliefs on emotions. We base a lot of our church attendance on tradition or just habit, or I'm really not sure, when we should know people like Dr. Geisler and know his work to better equip us to go out and talk to individuals, to better equip us in understanding God and his word and our strength and our walk, our closeness. I mean, there's so many adjectives that I could throw in there. Church, we have to change, not the message. Please don't get me wrong. And we don't have to change to meet the world. We have to change in knowing why we believe. We can't just go around telling people that we'll pray for them. And that, my friends, is the topic for today. Prayer. I mean, why do you pray? Why does anybody pray? And I've had this conversation numerous times, starting with my wife, my family, friends. I mean, for as long as I can remember of professing to be a Christian, which has been now about 13 years, I've had this conversation. I mean, why do we pray? And most of the time, I get the answer of, well, we want somebody to be healed. And I'm like, well, okay, that's good. We do want them to be healed. But do you think God changes his mind? Well, of course he does. And I'm like, are you serious? Well, yes. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, or I don't want to lay any new surprises on you, but God doesn't change his mind. And this stuff of, well, we pray for this, we pray for that, and, you know, well, I'm going to try to explain to you why we pray. And it's not because that we're trying to get God to change his mind. And I'm going to do that prayerfully in a way you understand. And if not, I do have some examples I'm going to give you as well. But anyway, prayer. Ask yourself, why do you pray? I don't know. But you should know. Because there's a lot of people out there that will say, why are you wasting your time? In fact, let me start off with an example. I watch a lot of other pastors. I read and watch different things all the time. And there's a particular pastor that I watch pretty much every Sunday. And he's just a good old boy. Love him to death. But, oh my goodness, people, it's a prime example of why the church is the way it is. And just like when I use my mother as an example, she's your stereotypical Christian that she just believes. She has no idea. And maybe that's okay. I don't think it's biblical. In fact, I know it's not biblical. But in the same sense, when you have preachers out teaching this stuff or preaching this stuff, then, you know, what more could we expect? And that's why I emphasize, if you feel that you've been called to preach, then you should probably go to school. And I know that probably hurts some people's feelings. In fact, I have friends that are pastors that have not been to school. And I'm not saying that's a solution to everything. One of my friends who's not a pastor is, I would classify as a genius, knows more than most people that have been to school. So is school a requirement? No, obviously, and I hear that argument all the time. The apostles didn't go to school, and I simply say, well, what they call Jesus? Master teacher. They spent 3.5 years. I'm off on a tangent. So, reeling this back in to the sermon I watched, the individual used John 3:16. And that's a familiar verse everyone knows, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. And instead of exegeting that specific passage, meaning instead of interpreting it and sharing it and what it means in context, he pulled out the one word, whosoever, and focused on that and focused on prayer. And the entire sermon was on prayer, that we should pray for the drug addict, or we should pray for the lost, or we see somebody across the street, you know, it doesn't matter if they know or they want us to pray for them. He spent the entire sermon emphasizing that God wants everyone saved and that we should be praying for everyone. Okay, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. Yes, we should. But why? Do we think that if we're praying for a family member, that if we pray enough, that God's going to change his mind and that family member is going to be saved? I don't know. It depends on what you think of God. Do we bind together? And this is one of my favorites. We're going to bind in prayer. Okay. How many people are you binding together with? Well, I'm going to bind with 5. Well, what if I bind with 6? Does that mean that God leans my way because he goes with the majority? Probably not. So the entire point here is that you need to know why we pray. And the Bible talks a lot about it, and I get a lot of flack from it. You know, well, why would we pray if God's not going to answer our prayers? I'm not saying God doesn't answer our prayers. Well, the Bible says that God changed his mind. Well, you're taking it out of context. The Bible does not state that if you know it in context. Anyway, the young man that was preaching on prayer, you know, instead of praying for these people, why? And don't get me wrong, you should pray for them. But why not go over and share the gospel with them? Well, that's an entirely different podcast, because not only do most people not know why we pray, most, unfortunately, or sadly, don't know what the gospel is. I listened to a podcast last night of a young man trying to explain the gospel, and the gospel is short and sweet. The Bible is very clear. Paul states it in 1 Corinthians 15:3, death, burial, resurrection. There's nothing to add to it, take away from it, or anything else. Fancy words or not, that's the gospel, and that's what we need to be sharing. In fact, we just need to be talking. Instead of sitting around inviting somebody to church or telling somebody we'll pray for them, and how many of us are guilty of this? Well, brother, I'll pray for you. Well, sister, I'll pray for you. And we go on and we never give it another thought. And I've been guilty of that. Don't think that I haven't. But I try real hard that if I say I'm going to pray, I either do it right that minute or I forget. And I'm sure you're the same. How long do you spend in prayer? I went to a seminar once at a church that the guy said, why don't we just add 1 minute to our prayer every day? And I thought, most people don't pray 1 minute every day. We talk a lot about it. But how long did Jesus pray? And he came back and he said, can you not stay awake for an hour while I will go to pray? Imagine if we prayed for an hour. But imagine if we knew why we were praying during that hour. What a concept. So, moving right along. Some of the examples of the feedback. Feedback's not a good word. Some of the ones who want to argue that God changes his mind don't really think about it. And I'll throw out there, you know, here's a verse in Jonah. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them. And he did not do it. Okay, he didn't change his mind. He knew they were going to repent. His actions are always a part of his bigger plan that was formed before he created the world. It's 66 books, boys and girls. It's not just a certain piece of scripture or a certain verse. It all goes together. That's why it was put together the way it is. God has a plan. If God changed his mind, now here's something a lot of people don't think about. If God actually changed his mind, then he would no longer be perfect. Have you ever considered that? So you're going to pray because such and such. You know, you need somebody healed, or you need money, or you're in a bad situation, or you want somebody to be saved. And you think that your prayer changes God's mind. Well, you think wrong. God does not change. Now, situations change, but God doesn't change. And you praying does not change his mind. So here you go. Here's the key. So why do we pray? First of all, we pray because we're instructed to pray. Jesus tells us to pray. Jesus says, Luke 18:1, always pray and not lose heart. But the bottom line, and this is putting it all together, 1 John 15:14-15, here is the key to why we pray. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his what? To his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. Did you get it? According to his will. You can pray all day, all night, every day, and if it's not according to God's will, then it's not going to happen. We pray to get ourselves in God's will, to focus on God. God has a plan and he's in control. So we pray for ourselves because Jesus told us to, and because it's part of a relationship with God. It's like if you get married and you never speak to your spouse again, how good is that going to work out? Well, it's even more important with God. According to his will, we can come to him. You can have any request you want, and God promises that our prayers are not in vain. And if we don't receive specifically what we ask for, I mean, look in Matthew 6:6, Romans 8:26 and 27. He's promised that when we ask for things that are in accordance with his will, he will give us what we ask for. But remember, bottom line, he's not changing his mind. Not for you, not for me, not for anybody else. If somebody tells you otherwise, then somebody else is telling you wrong. So you can pray for the drug addict, or you can pray for the drunkard, or the harlot, or whoever you want to pray for. And I'm not sure why we focus on those three groups. We need to focus on everybody else, each other, the lost. But those three groups seem to be famous in southern West Virginia. But prayer should be a means of getting God to do our will on earth. Sorry, not be seen. I said that wrong. Prayer should not be seen that God's Santa Claus, basically, or God is Barney. It's not to get our will. It's his will be done. That's the bottom line. Prayer, like sharing the gospel, we don't know who's going to respond. We can share the gospel all day long. But until we share, we don't have an answer. Same thing with prayer. We'll never see the results of an answered prayer unless we actually pray. And we need to know why we're praying. So anyway, hope that helps. Questions or comments, you can email me at johnmays@ratiochristi.org. If you'd like to be a part of our financial support team, I would greatly appreciate that. You can do that by going to johnmays.ratiochristi.org. And now I have actually switched platforms in which my podcast is broadcast. Podcast is broadcast. Anyway, it's available in a lot more places, so prayerfully a lot more people will listen and subscribe. Subscribing is the key to sharing, and I do pray about that according to God's will. So, until next time, you, as usual, have probably been thunderstruck.